Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Hi, this is Dr. Howard Rankin with The Miracle Within You. And today I'm delighted to have with me, all the way from Tennessee, Sharon Abbott, who's got some amazing stories to tell about life in general, but also her own challenges with health and how she managed them, what we might say, unconventionally. Sharon, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Howard. It's just wonderful to meet you and be on the show. Thank you.
Absolutely. So let's start off with some of the physical challenges you've had, and you've had quite a few, and what they were and how you dealt with them and this interaction with the sort of conventional medical system and your own perception of what was going on during those various events.
Absolutely. Well, going back to the time that I was 6 years old, I actually had my tonsils out, but they didn't take all of the tabs out. And I ended up getting throat infections. It was like bronchitis, strep throat, every year at wintertime. And nobody had a cure. Nobody thought there was a reason for it. And then when I was 9, my appendix ruptured and they didn't get all the toxins out. And I ended up creating cysts on my ovaries from the toxins that were encapsulated in tumors on my ovaries. So I had endometriosis from the time I was 15 until I was 24. While I was married, I had 17 miscarriages. They ended up having to do a hysterectomy when I was 24. And so that was like the beginning of my awareness that Western medicine wasn't the best for me. I wasn't having a very good track record with it. And then back in 1985, I cut my finger. I was mowing the lawn for a neighbor who had just had surgery, and he had a push mower. And so I, you know, pull the starter and push it, but the grass was 3 feet tall and wet. And so I kept like taking the basket off and emptying the grass. I got tired of that. So I just left the basket off. And then the grass just kind of got stuck in the chute. And I reached in to grab the grass and it caught my finger and pulled my hand into the mower.
Oh my gosh.
My hand actually stopped the lawnmower from working. So I went to the emergency doctor, and brand new emergency doctor, 1 week at the hospital. He gave me a tetanus shot with an antibiotic that caused Epstein-Barr virus. And over a 12-year time period, I had every organ in my body fail, kidney and liver twice. I had ended up with Epstein-Barr virus because of the infection. And that was really the reason why all my organs were failing. Fortunately, they failed one at a time and not all at the same time. But the doctors would say, oh, you've got 6 months to live. And then I was, with the muscular dystrophy, I was walking out of a coffee shop and this lady was coming. I was walking in, she was walking out, and she bumped into me and spilled her coffee all over me. And she was mortified. And, you know, I'm barely walking at this point. It looks like polio when you have muscular dystrophy. And so she bought me a cup of coffee and she sat down and she had in her purse super blue green algae. So she gave me a bottle and she invited me to come over to her house. She was the first teacher in California who taught nutrition in the high schools.
Oh, wow.
So she taught me how to actually cook foods that would work with my body chemistry, which was just incredible. And, and really tasty things. So I kept, you know, fighting with each time something would happen. So my spleen had quit, and I went to this acupuncturist whose family had passed down acupuncture to each eldest son for 300 years.
Oh
And
my.
after 4 months, he was able to get my spleen back 100%. And barely got through that in August, and then my kidneys failed in October. And this acupuncturist that I knew said if I came to her office in on Monday, she'd only charge me $25. So by this time, I was only able to stay awake for 6 hours a day, which you can't do a whole lot in 6 hours when you're used to
No,
working 16 hours.
no, no.
So it was just like one thing after another. She got my body was retaining so much fluid, my kidneys were failed, that my hands were twice as thick as they should have been. And in 6 months, she got my kidneys back 100% with acupuncture.
Wow.
So I'm going along doing just fine. And one day I get up and the whites of my eyes are yellow. I thought, well, that's really strange. The next day, my skin was yellow. So I went and got a blood test and I had liver failure. So this client of mine had called and she said, all about business. And then towards the end, she said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm going to give you the name of this Dr. Jane. She's up in Vallejo, but she's also in Santa Fe once a month. And so I hung up the phone, called Dr. Jane, naturopathic doctor, and she said, this never happens, but I have a cancellation on Thursday. This was Monday. And I said, I will be there. It was like the worst thing I've seen in years. And I had to drive over the bridge in Martinez to get to her office, which was really frightening. But I get to her office and she does the blood work, she does the tests and everything. And then she says, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to juice carrots, cucumbers, celery, and beets. 1 ounce of each, no food. That's all you're going to have 4 times a day. You're not going to believe 6 weeks later, my liver was back 100%. Food healing my liver. I was so impressed. I just couldn't believe how amazing this was. So I kept thinking, okay, I'm finally done. I'm finally done, and then all of a sudden, in 2000, I was feeling very weak, very strange, and I had gone through a lot of things, like the American Indian shaman that found me in a crowd, and he was shaking my hand. Did you know that every organ in your body has a pulse along the meridian from your thumb down? And he was checking my pulses. I had no pulse in any organ. So he insisted on following me home that night. And he worked on me for 3.5 hours. I really had to move my legs. I couldn't just pick them up and move them. I had to take my hands and move my legs at that point. 4 days later, I forgot to set the alarm and I looked at the clock. It was 8:30 and I was supposed to be downtown Walnut Creek at 9. And I jumped out of bed and I got in the shower and I'm standing in the shower and I go, I just jumped out of bed. I mean,
Wow.
that's how amazing this was. Well, the effects lasted a month, and he came back every month for a year, and then every other month for a year, and then the third year every 3 months, and then all the symptoms were gone. So I'm going through this whole process, and I'm thinking, every organ's had its turn, so I'm done, right? I should be
Yeah,
done.
I hope
And
so.
I started getting really tired, and I just couldn't figure out what was going on. So I went to the same doctor that my little brother had gone to with the colon cancer, and Dr. Messer in Concord, he said, you have breast cancer. We're going to do a radical mastectomy on Monday. And I stood up and I said, no, we're not. And I walked out. He followed me to the parking lot and he says, you can't ignore this. I said, no intention of ignoring it, but I am not going to go through what you put my brother through. They burnt him from the waist to his knees with the radiation. He had no skin. It was devastating. It was barbaric. So I had obligated to go to this trade show. And you know how you just get into this automatic mode. So I was going to the trade show. I just found out I had cancer, but I'm still going to the trade show. And I'm numb, right? So I walked into the trade show and it was like being in another world, like if I might have been in another country because I didn't understand what people were saying, I was in shock. And this one voice came out of the whole crowd of noise. And this woman walked up to me, 5'11", and she hugs me, and then she gently pushes me away. She said, "Sharon, do you know how sick you are?" And I'm looking at her like, I can barely even remember my name, let alone interpret this question. And she said, "Sharon, you have cancer." And I asked her, she says, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "I'm really having a hard time. I'm struggling at this moment." She said, "It's Maida. When I needed business cards when I first started my practice 11 years ago, you designed my business cards and then gave them to me as a gift because I couldn't afford to pay for them. So she said, you're coming to my house on Friday. We're going to work all day." She worked on me every day for every Friday for the 4 months. Finally, she says, "I have nothing left but this one thing." She says, "I'll be right back." She goes into her bedroom. She comes out. She dusts this machine off. And she says, "I want you to take this home and use it for 10 minutes a day." So by this time, I had learned how to use a pendulum. So I could ask, is it 10 minutes? And it would be still swinging an hour, swinging 4 hours. I had to use this machine, not 10 minutes. So it was the original Rife machine. And there's 16 frequencies for cancer. I used it for 16 days. And then 2 weeks after that, I went in to get a blood test. You do not have to go through all those torturous tests to find out if you have cancer. A
Right.
simple blood test will tell you if your white blood cells are compromised. So the doctor calls me back. He says, "Sharon, they messed up the blood test. You have to come back and do another one." So I did another one, and he calls me back and he says, "Sharon, you never had cancer." I said, "Wait a minute. I never had cancer, but you scheduled me for a radical mastectomy the next Monday." So 5 years later, I get a call from Dr. Messer, and he says, "Sharon, you have to tell me what you did to get rid of your cancer." And I'm a Scorpio, so I can't let things slide too easily. I said, "What, the cancer I never had?" And he said, "Sharon, I really need your help." I said, "You have to tell me why." I said, "First off, how many people have died on your watch over the last 5 years?" No answer. He said, "Sharon, my mother has cancer." I said, "So now that it's your family, now you're willing to listen." I said, "You know, I'm on the fence here." I said, "But who I am, here's the information." Because I just kept thinking about all those people and what he did to my brother. So he went to Las Vegas, and there's this man, Ron Rockwell, who has since moved to Dubai, who had originally worked with Royal Rife, and he was manufacturing the Rife machines. He had the rights to manufacture the Rife machines. So Dr. Messer went to Las Vegas. He got one of the Rife machines, and his mother was still alive 5 years after that. I kind of lost track of him after that, but it was just like one thing after another.
Sharon, I've heard some stories, but this has to be one of the most amazing stories because, for whatever reason, you've had, one condition, physical condition, after another, after another, after another. And somehow, through what seems to be almost miraculous meetings, you've healed. And I do
Not only
think,
healed, but I think I'm better health-wise than I was before.
I think that's right. And one of the things that I found with people who have these sorts of experiences, they do have a very positive mindset. They don't just take what the doctor said to them. They say,
No, you have
no,
to challenge the doctor. Yes.
you have to challenge in the right way. You have to challenge them. And also, this presents a challenge for conventional physicians. And I had Dr. David Katz, who's a leading lifestyle medicine expert, on the show some time ago, and he really expressed how this needs to be addressed. He said, "I can't give false hope, but I can say, look, here's what typically happens, but those are probabilities. We're dealing with you. While there's life, there's hope, and we'll do everything we can to beat the odds." rather than just saying, well, yeah, you got pretty much left to live. Because honestly,
So,
if you,
don't you think that no doctor has a right to tell anyone how long they have to live?
well, I do. Yeah, that becomes really interesting. That's a moral conflict, Ben. I think they have a right. I think it should be said, look, here are the statistics, because it's not a fact, it's a probability. You know, how many people with this thing at this stage live a year? Only a year. 65%. How many
House
live
Radio,
five
the station
years?
that
You know, and
makes you
so
feel
forth.
good.
And so you never know which category you fall in. And as Dr. Katz said, while there's life, there's hope. And I don't want to peddle false hope, you know, but there's still a possibility. So, you know, it is a very challenging situation. And your interaction with the physicians has been illuminating. Yeah, you do have to think and challenge and
Well,
seek
you're
different
responsible for
opinions.
your own health,
That's
and
right.
a doctor is practicing medicine.
Right.
So, are they practicing on you, and can you afford to have them practice on you?
Yeah.
So, what I look at is if it's your life, then your responsibility is to find every possible way that you can
Absolutely.
overcome whatever
Yeah.
health issue that you're exposed to. And, I'm living proof that you can do that. I feel like for some reason I had to go through all that so I would have the firsthand knowledge so that I could guide other people. I had the radio show in San Francisco, Choices for a Healthier Lifestyle, and I have a book that's 200 pages deep with people who were told they would never live, they would never get over what they went through, and all of them came through it because of the resources that I had developed. There are people that have been doing juicing for over 50 years. And one of the practitioners was forced out of, oh gosh, where did they, I don't even remember where they started, but they ended up in Arizona and then they were ran out of Arizona and ended up in Mexico. And they have
Right.
this wonderful juicing program. And another man, Dr. Bob, was curing cancer in 1990. I think it was Bob Berg. And he was using electrical energy. He had taken a 9-volt battery and put two coils on it. And if you wore it on your wrist, it heated up every drop of blood every 9 minutes in your whole body, and cancer couldn't survive.
Oh,
I
wow.
mean, there have been
Amazing
things
things,
that have
yeah.
been invented. So he got ran out of California. He
I
ended up in
bet.
Canada. Because the clinic that he was working in said it was embarrassing that he had a 95% cure rate of cancer and nobody else did. And that was embarrassing.
Yeah,
I mean, that
no.
was just
That is a problem. That is a
the.
problem, you know, where you read about spontaneous recoveries, people researching it. The problem is the medical profession, for a variety of reasons, doesn't want to look at
Radio,
that,
the
doesn't
station
want to
that
know
makes you
about
feel
it. But
good. No.
actually, as in your case, there's mountains of information in
Yeah,
those
and it's up to
stories.
the individual to find that. I mean,
Yes.
I had just engrossed myself in the medical world. Dr. Lynn Saputa in Walnut Creek, California, was an amazing Western medicine practitioner who also listened to alternatives. And he hosted an event once a month where he would have five or six practitioners, and at least two of them were alternative.
Right.
So
Yeah.
people could come in and say, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
My doctor cannot figure out what this is.
Right.
And the whole panel would come up with an advice for this one person. And
Yes.
it was televised and it was actually broadcast through the university there. And that's how it should be. In Russia, I met this Dr. Gleev from Russia. And in Russia, a doctor has to have at least three other practices other than Western medicine. Right. So
Interesting.
he had gone to Korea and he studied Sujuk and he taught me how I hosted classes and he taught me how you can use your hand. So the tendon coming down from your middle finger is like your vertebrae.
Okay.
Your kidneys are on each side of your middle finger. And if you take not a pinpoint, but let's say you take anything that's a metal and if you find a sore spot, that's an area that needs attention. So if you just press periodically on that spot, the energy comes back to it.
Wow.
That's
Amazing.
Suchak. And that was one of his practices, and it was incredible. There was a young boy that had third-degree burns all over his entire body, and they needed to do skin graft surgery. And he went in and he worked on that boy so that he didn't have to have pain medication.
Sharon,
Just using his hand.
this is amazing. We have to take a short break now for our great sponsors, but then we'll be right back. I've got lots of questions for you, and you've got a lot of the answers. So we'll be right back after the short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. And today I am talking with Sharon Abbott, who unquestionably is miraculous in many ways, as we'll discover. As she mentioned in the first part of the show, she has experienced many, many physical challenges. And one thing that blew me away, Sharon, was when you said you'd had 17 miscarriages. You know, I know from personal experience, people I know, just having one can be devastating. How did you manage that? I mean, it seems almost inconceivable, pardon the pun.
That is a pun. And it's odd that I can laugh about it. But going through it at the time, I was a basket case, really, emotionally. I was a roller coaster. There was no one that I could talk to that would help me. I was married to a man who was in the Navy. So I had, you know, the military hospital, but they didn't offer counseling. They didn't ask, you know, questions. It was just like very matter of fact in treatment. And they even put me through infertility thinking that they could make sure that I stayed pregnant. Of course, that didn't work. I don't know how I got through it emotionally, other than I started drinking, and I drank very heavily when I was 24 years old. I took out this car that I was turned down to buy a house, and I went down to Monterey to the racetrack, and I had the money I've been put down on the house and bought a race car. I
Oh,
started autocross racing. I mean, it made sense to me at
really?
the So I ended up taking the race car out. It was street legal. And so I took it out to this park, and it had just started raining, and I hit this slick, and I had been drinking.
Oof.
And I started sliding in the car, which was fiberglass, and the gas tank was right above my feet. And I started sliding, and the car stopped, not even a finger width between it and the concrete
Oh
overpassing.
my gosh.
I sobered up and literally stopped drinking. It was like the biggest wake-up call. And I think that was something that helped me. It was like, I'm not a religious person, but I'm very spiritual. And I believe that it was like, somehow I was guided to be able to have that kind of experience that was so drastic that it made me stop and pay attention. What am I doing with my life? Both of my grandfathers were alcoholics. Both of my parents were dry alcoholics, which I think sometimes is worse than an alcoholic. They have all the same behavior, but they're no fun.
Yeah, that's right. You mentioned something there that I think is important. Again, one of the things in my own experience, but also reading about, spontaneous remissions and miraculous recoveries. One thing is people do have a very positive mindset and don't take,
Absolutely.
and that is really important. The other thing is there does seem to be a spiritual element to them, not necessarily a religious one, but a spiritual element. And you said you're a very spiritual person. How did that impact your trajectory, do you think?
I don't even think I recognized that I was spiritual because I was raised Catholic, but I was very angry at the Catholic Church. So there was three specific incidences that I went, I'm not have anything to do with this. And I started exploring. I went to like every church I could find in the San Francisco Bay Area. I went, everything. And I just wanted to find a place that felt like it touched my heart. And in the process, I developed this awareness of the connection between hearts, people who you literally connect with your heart. So I've got to the point where I could look at someone and I knew that we could be friends just by looking at them. And so I started thinking about all these classes, and I took, you can't even imagine how many classes and how many books and how many things that I had to expose myself to get through all of the trauma from being raised in a violent household to ending up marrying a man who was violent because he came back from Vietnam. He was a sweet boy when he went to Vietnam. He came back from Vietnam. He was just an angry, violent guy. And I all this trauma in my life, and I, God, this just isn't right. And so I kept taking these classes and trying to come up with things. And I had gone to this chiropractor in Walnut Creek, and he did what they called network chiropractic. And it works with the emotions tied to the vertebrae, which is fascinating to me. So I started thinking about if the emotions are tied to the vertebrae. So when you have a heartache because you've lost someone or somebody's disappointed you in love, did you know that it actually affects T2 and T3? Right? So if you have anger, and this is Dr. Ben Sims' work, if you have anger, you have a better likelihood of getting cancer, prostate, kidney, and liver, right? Those are the anger areas. And then Louise Hay was talking about, she came to the Bay Area and I went to see her, that when people don't speak their truth, they end up with throat cancer. Or if somebody has throat cancer, it's because they're afraid to speak their truth. And so I started seeing people as who they were projecting to be compared to who they truly were. Like,
Absolutely.
the prime example is when somebody works in a corporation and they have to be like this facade in the business, and then they go home and they finally get to be who they are. And then, unfortunately, like I had a client, Jerry, who After working with me for a year, his wife sent me a note. She says, "Thank you for returning my husband back to me. He's finally the man I married," because the corporate world had tarnished him where he couldn't laugh from his heart.
Right.
You
right,
know,
right.
This spiritual connection with people helps me learn about myself.
Absolutely. This is really important. This is something that I wholeheartedly believe in and is in my book and in talks that I give. In the late 90s, Dean Ornish, you know, big cardiologist, wrote a book called Love and Healing, and saying that actually love was the most potent healer of heart disease. Well, that didn't go down too well with the medical profession. But later, 2013, Barbara Johansson wrote a book called Love 2.0. And what she said was, love in terms of those magical moments where you connect with people, where there is that connection, where there is compassion, what, you know, all the right emotions going on, those are the healing moments. And yeah, I totally believe that. And what you're saying reinforces that.
When you're not focused on yourself and you're focused on someone else, then you're taking the pressure off of yourself for your healing and you're giving to other people. So, you know, you've heard that probably 100 times in your life. For those who give, they get back tenfold, right?
Correct.
And that is a big part of the spiritual nature of people. Everyone's spiritual. Some people put religion as the tantamount to their relationship. And, you know, I've had people say it's God's will. And I say, well, I don't think God would want you to sit on your couch and wait for something to happen.
Correct.
It's your responsibility to get up and make something happen in your life. So I get kind of irritated that I feel like people hide behind religion instead of taking responsibility for themselves.
Yeah.
So my spiritual nature, I've told people over and over again, you could follow me around with a camera and me not know you were there. And I would do the same thing as I do, even nobody was there. When I go out, which isn't very often, I make sure that there's at least one person I can do a random act of kindness. It could be a compliment. It could be a conversation. Recently, there was a young woman in the store and she was looking at candles. And I was telling her about diffusers. And she said that it was the second anniversary of her grandmother dying, her nanny. And she started tearing up. I said, you know, she's with you all the time anyway. She's still here. And she just tears streamed down her face. I said, even though they're physically not here, they're always around you. And she gave me a big hug. She said, I really needed to hear that. To me, that's spiritual. I didn't have
Absolutely.
To talk to that young woman. I didn't have to take my time. You know, I mean, and it's so simple to do something like that for somebody. Just show up.
Absolutely. Absolutely nailed it. That is who you are. That is why you have experienced the things that you have. You have incredibly positive mindset. You're very resilient, but you have absolutely the right values and have those magic moments where, you know, potentially we could be healing, you know? You have a magic moment like that, and a lot of biological things happen, not just oxytocin, when you have a magic moment like that. But we know the cells in your body experience that.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Energize you in such a way, hey, you might not have known it, but that immune system fires up and kills those cancer cells that were growing, you know? Really. And so, absolutely. Sharon, I can't say enough about how I admire your spirit and who,
thank you.
No, seriously, who you are, because you epitomize, you know, I've been studying this for a while now, you epitomize exactly what people need to do to get spontaneous remissions, miracles, whatever you want to call them. Because I do think the spirituality, and there's a, you know, there's that where spirituality and biology and psychology meet. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. You know, during the radio show, I had it for 2 years. And I met this one woman who she called into the show and she had cancer. And she was just 6 months left to live. And I said, would you mind if I refer you to someone that might be able to help you through this, who is a hypnotherapist? And so she went and saw Joe. And during their hypnotherapy session, Joe said, is there any reason why you can't let go of this cancer? And she said, it's the first time in my life people have actually come over to help me. You'd rather have cancer and die just to have people come over and help you for 6 months.
Yep.
I mean, that kind of mindset is like years of neglect.
Yes. Like,
did you know that most women who have breast cancer do not have a healthy relationship with their children?
I'm not surprised, but I did not know that. Yeah.
It's logical, right?
Yes,
it makes
right.
sense.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If anybody were to look at Bernie Siegel's work, Dr. Bernie Siegel, he has a 95% cure ratio of cancer and heart disease. 95%. And the first thing he tells people is get rid of anything that stresses you. Whether it's your kids, your husband, your job, your house, it doesn't matter. Get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing on earth that makes it worthwhile for you to say that you're going to die because you have stress in your life. Stress is the number one killer. It causes almost every disease there is. It weakens the immune system.
Right. And the stress comes when there is, for many reasons, but when there is incompatibility. In your
right.
perception of yourself and who you really are, and incompatibility with the spiritual, biological, and psychological dimensions.
And it could be subjective from relationships. Like I was talking to this one woman who was just this lovely, sweet, you know, down-home country kind of woman in her 50s, and she's this amazing artist, and she cannot get her husband to have a relationship with her. He's off traveling the world, doing all these things and being important. And she feels so isolated. So she cooks for him. She cleans for him. She runs the house. But that's it. She has nothing from him.
Right.
And she is inside. She is atrophying.
Yes. No question.
And
no.
People don't understand that, like, this one guy that he stayed with his wife because he didn't want to give up half of his wealth.
Yeah, good reason. Huh?
I mean, miserable,
yep.
But stayed with her anyway.
I know.
I was like, oh,
and I got a good story about that. There was a woman like that I was doing some therapy with. Eventually, she divorced her husband. You know, they lived in this beautiful mansion, had, you know, materially on the outside looked everything. And she, as I say, lived in this wonderful place, and they got divorced. And I saw her a few months later, and I said, well, where are you living now? She said, I'm living in a trailer. And I said, oh, how's that? She said, I've never been happier.
Perfect.
And on that note, we'll have to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with the amazing Sharon Abbott.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity. while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You and this amazing interview with Sharon Abbott, who epitomizes to me as someone who has studied spontaneous remissions and miraculous healings and what people do. She epitomizes the very things that people do, say they have done to overcome what seemed like the odds. Very resilient mindset. Spiritual in terms of caring and loving for people. And on that score, Sharon also has another amazing part, but if you've heard the first two parts, you probably won't be amazed at this one. Sharon, tell us about what experience led you to what you now do.
In 2000, I was having Christmas dinner with my little brother, Tony. And he said, we have to do something to help kids who are living on the streets who don't have a sister like you. And it just like filled my heart. It was so impactful, you know, emotionally and physically. I was just amazed. And so we started talking about it, school for 300 boys. And 5 months later, I came up with the initials UBU. So I wanted kids to learn how to be who they are, not what somebody, like a parent is a lawyer and they want the kid to be a lawyer and it's like the kid's going to be miserable their whole life. I mean, that's not fair. So I wanted to create this concept that kids had the power to learn how to be themselves. Well, I was promised 8 times that I would have funding. The 8th time was by this amazing man in China. There were 60,000 people who applied for the funds. He picked 120, and I was one of the 120. And so 2011, he said, March 1st, 2012, you're going to go to Zurich. We've already opened up the bank account. You're going to start your school for the 300 boys. So the IMF froze his funds the 1st of March, so I never got to go. And then my broker said, you've got all this money, you sold your house, you sold your car, you sold everything to go to Zurich and start the school. Why don't you look at foreign currency? And I did, and it made sense to me. So I went all in. Everything I had went into foreign currency. And I didn't want to ever have to be beholding to somebody. Because people, when they give money, they think they have the right to tell you what to do with your own project. So I decided I would just do this with the foreign currency whenever it happened. And, you know, that was 12 and a half years ago. So here I am still waiting. The school is now, because of 12 and a half years, it's a school for 6,000 boys and girls. We're taking kids off the streets in the United States, moving them to Belize for a 3-year high school program that's a trade school. So the kids will learn every practical skill there is. So whether it's cooking, whether it's sewing, construction, music, they're going to learn everything. So they have a semester of every single one of the courses that will make them completely self-sustainable when they're adults. But the benefit is they're going to know what they like and they're going to know what they don't like. So, you know, when most kids graduate high school, you know, they have this ideal of what they want their life to be, and it's just blue sky. The average right now, kids go to college is 7 years because they keep changing majors. And oddly enough, 22% of all graduates never use their degree. So they're wasting their education and the money it takes to get that education. Yeah. So, you know, it's like there's got to be a way of getting people to live their life on purpose. So that's what I'm doing with the kids. I'm showing them early on. Every child will have to have their own business in the first 30 days, because I'm a solid believer in entrepreneurship. We have plans for a brand new town, which will have 25,000 employees, 35,000 residents. The school will have 800 residents, which are the people who come from out of the country, because I want to make sure that 90% of the employees are from Belize. When the kids graduate high school, they will be grandfathered into the four-year university, which will be complete by the time they finish high school. The entire campus is going to be built with 3D printing using hemp and concrete. So everything except the exterior fencing can be completed in 6 months. We can print 10 homes a day. One school, 425,000 square feet, four stories, can be printed in an entire week. It can have
Amazing.
all of the utilities dropped in 4 weeks. So it's cost effective, it's time sensitive, and the greatest thing is the house that you're in has an allergen level of 600 to 900. Right. So I have carpet on the floor here, and I'm constantly with my throat, kind of, it bothers me. A hemp home has a minus nine level in allergies. It is healthy. It holds the heat. So if you turn on your heater in the morning, you go off to work, you come back, your house is still the same temperature. It's amazing. It's fireproof. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible materials. So we're going to have every course that we can possibly get. We have a dojo from Dallas coming down to set up our dojo. Every child will have to take martial arts. We're going to do the muscle car restoration program, and the kids get to work on the cars. So let's say we pick up 66 Mustang, $2,500, all beat up. We put it back together at $7,500. We can sell it for $30,000. We keep half the profit. The 10 kids that work on the car get half the profit.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's
Right?
nice.
So we're teaching them enterprise. We're going to be able to give them all kinds of resources. Like, they're going to work on one car and they maybe hate it. Okay, fine. Right? They're going to perform one time on stage and they're going to, I don't like to perform. That's fine. How about running the board? You know, how about doing the promotions? How about the material that it takes to do an event?
Yep,
There'll be
absolutely.
something, some way. And then just this morning, I met a man who's in Sausalito who now has frequencies to help determine where the kid's genius actually is. Right? So he's
Love it.
going to be coming to Belize, and we're going to be able to make sure that the kids all excel in their genius. So you know how when you're in school, you have to take all the required curriculum. And like when my little brother Tony took math, he was a straight D student.
Okay, good, we
Right?
know. Okay.
He came back after he had cancer in 98, and they gave him a retraining program. And I sat him down and he said he was going to be retrained as a construction estimate person. I said, Tony, what were your grades in high school for math? And he goes, oh. I said, okay, I want you to think about this. You have a recipe, it's for four people, but you have seven people coming for dinner. How do you take that recipe and make it for seven people? Because he loved to cook. And he got the math right.
Of course.
So our education doesn't use what kids can relate to, and that's why they can't relate to the education.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% agree with that. So what you're offering these kids off the street, and we should clarify that how you get those kids. My understanding was they're up in court or in the system somehow, and they've got the option to go with you instead
Or
of
juvenile
perhaps
hall, right?
go to juvenile detention or whatever that
So,
is.
yeah, we have five judges so far that are on board, and I'd love to have a judge in every state in the juvenile system. When the kids are presented for shoplifting for food or breaking into a building to get out of this nasty weather, they should be given the option. They don't belong in juvenile hall with kids. They're not there, but they'll learn some really bad habits if they get put in juvenile hall. And right now, throughout the United States, we have 50% more kids than we have beds in juvenile halls. So the correction facilities are really understaffed. They're undersupplied. And so these kids really, they just, it's not fair to put kids in this environment that are basically just trying to survive. And it's not their fault. I met a 12-year-old boy. He wasn't 12 when I met him, but I met a boy in San Francisco who was standing on the street trying to talk to people to give him money so that he could go to the next community and start a community garden. He had been homeless since he was 12. He came home from school one day, and his mother had moved with her boyfriend, didn't bother telling him where she moved. 3 weeks later, the rent ran out. He got kicked out of the apartment, and he fortunately ended up with some kids that were pretty good. They protected him. They were older than him. And he took this interest into organic farming, and he loved hemp. Of all the things that he carried, he had a 4-inch book on hemp. And I was so impressed with him. I mean, he was at the time 25. He had been on the streets for 12 years and survived. So we know in the United States, there's 700,000 children living on the streets without an adult to provide for them. 50% of these children are going to end up in prison or dead by their 35th birthday. And this is no fault of their own. We don't have programs to take care of these kids. There's some here and there. The Covenant House does a really good job. But like in Houston, there's 24,000 children living on the streets, and Covenant House can actually house, I think it's 4,000 kids in Houston. So there's this deficit of what do these kids do? Where can they go? So I had this idea that what if people would approach a Rotary Club and say, who do you know who's in commercial real estate? Where is there an abandoned building? Why can't we convert this to you can come in at night? You know, and have somebody, a police officer that, you know, is in that beat and can come in and say, hey, you got to clear out. Now we'll open it up, you know, at 7 o'clock at night. But, you know, by 9 o'clock in the morning, you have to clear out, you know, when at least the sun might be up. So maybe the Lions Club could organize the restaurants rather than dumping the food every day into a bin. Why don't they figure out how to get it to the kids so that the kids can have decent food? If every community would do that and at least help these kids survive, I mean, that's a huge step. And it, what does it take? It doesn't take hardly anything from anybody. It doesn't even take money.
Sam, this is really, really amazing, which brings us to the point. If people want to know more about what you're doing or how they might be able to contribute or help, where should they go?
The website is ultimatebusinessuniv.com. And there's 2,000 pages on the website. Lots of information. All my contact information is on the website. You can find me, Google me. They used to actually have a total number when you Googled people's names on. Right, they don't do that anymore, unfortunately. But I used to have 250,000 results for me because of my speaking and my author, and you know, all these different things that I did. But you can Google me, you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm everywhere, except I'm not on the new social media. So I attempted, but I thought enough is enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Sharon is spelled S-H-A-R. Y-N, right?
That's right.
Abbott, two B's, right?
And two T's.
And two T's, right. So Sharon Abbott, I'm sure if you Google her, you'll find all sorts of information. So to find out more about the amazing work that she is doing and how you might be able to contribute to it, very meaningful. Sharon, I can't tell you how much I have... enjoyed would be the wrong word, how much I've been inspired by our conversation today.
Thank you.
You are an amazing, amazing human being. And I think that is manifested throughout your stories of health and healing and what you do. So thank you so much for everything you do. And thank you so much for your
You're
time
welcome.
today. I
You're
really
welcome.
appreciate it.
Thank you. This has been fun. Thank you so much.
Well, we always want it to be fun too, right? As well as
Yeah.
meaningful. Okay. All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.